Welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. It's been a while since we last posted, and we're still in the middle of the COVID-19 quarantine here in Illinois. I hope y'all are doing all right, staying safe and healthy. We're still practicing proper social distancing here at the Salvation Army, so our building is still pretty deserted. However, I've been hearing from some of our listeners that you miss our monthly podcasts, so I really wanted to continue this ministry. And speaking of which, our guest today is Sarah Makula, who actually began the Prepare Podcast ministry about 5 years ago. So today we are going to celebrate not only that milestone, but also talk about the five-year anniversary of our Embrace program and catch up with her in what she's doing right now. You will recognize Sarah as she was the first original voice of our podcast, and she's my predecessor as she worked for the Salvation Army Territorial Headquarters in the position that I now hold. Currently, she and her husband Simon are in their first year of seminary training to be Salvation Army officers or pastors, and I'm excited to have Sarah on today to catch up with her life and look back on our podcast and Embrace to see how far we've come. I hope you enjoy this conversation. Welcome, Sarah.
Hey, Heather.
I'm so glad you were able to take time out of your busy school schedule to talk to us today. But I just so that everybody knows, we are practicing good social distancing today. You're downtown Chicago at the Salvation Army College for Officer Training, and I'm miles away here at our territorial headquarters. So we're good.
That's right.
Okay, so I really want to use some of our time today to catch up our listeners, get everyone up to speed on what's been happening in your life. But for those new listeners who maybe don't know you, can you just remind us who you are? Tell us a little bit about yourself, Sarah Makula.
Yeah, well, it's so funny. I just had like a moment of stress looking at my phone to make sure it was recording, but then I was like, oh, that's not my job. I'm not in charge of that. Yeah. So, well, going with that, I used to do what Heather does. For 6 years, I was in the Women's Ministries Department as the program specialist with the focus and emphasis on things like this, on reaching women through media, social media, working to update some programming and even rebrand kind of women's ministries in a way so that it was just fully inclusive to all women. Just finding that some women didn't really connect with what women's ministries was in their minds and really trying to kind of reteach them that it's really what you make it. And so let's keep creating space for women to come together, to feel welcomed. So I just almost can sum it up in that way of like repackaging, rebranding, and reteaching what women's ministries is and can be.
Yeah. And that's, you kind of set the ball in motion for our new international reimagining women's ministries movement that we're doing. It's basically exactly what you just said. You just put it in a nice box and put a bow on it for us. That's perfect.
You know, there was kind of a global movement within the last 4 to 5 years of really re-examining how we reach women and how we, yeah, like I said, include them and make space for them and say, yeah, this is for you as well. This isn't just for your grandma, even though it is for her too.
Right.
It's been exciting to see them. Really, it's been a global experience.
Yeah. So tell us what you're doing right now. You've left this job. You handed that off to me. And then
my husband and I became cadets in the Central Territories College for Officer Training. So we are in training to become officers, pastors, administrators. So we are first year cadets and we are wrapping up our final quarter of our first year. We've just got really 2 weeks to go before preparation for the modified commissioning and then our departure for our first summer assignment.
So you and Simon are headed where for the summer?
We're going to Omaha, to the Omaha Citadel Corps.
And I'm going to ask you, we're going to come back to that, but can you just tell us when did you feel called to be in full-time ministry through the Salvation Army?
I think for me, I don't have one of those commonly heard altar call, I didn't really experience that one time. Like, that was it. It was at youth councils. Mm-hmm. And I love hearing those stories. They're really impactful. But that's not really been my story. Mm-hmm. My story, I think, has just been a real gradual. And I think that's just how God knows me so well, mm-hmm. that he know I'm a little bit of a late bloomer and all, you know, in so many areas of my life, that he really has to kind of take me by the hand and really walk me into the spaces that he has for me.
Yeah.
So it's just been a slow, gradual realizing that this is maybe the best way for me to live out what I do feel God has called me to do. And I think he's called mm-hmm. me to serve him, to, like I've said with the women's ministry stuff, make space for people to feel welcome and included. And what a great opportunity officers have as Corps officers to make space for people and say that you are loved. This can be your community. And how can we walk in this life and this faith together and encourage one another, disciple one another? It just felt like a really like a this is the next right step for me.
Yeah, like a natural progression.
Exactly. Yep.
And you are married to Simon. Mm-hmm. So how is he adjusting to this new life at College for Officer Training?
Well, when we started talking about going into training, all I could think of right away was all of the rules that I knew we would deal with on a daily basis, all the expectations. And I said to him, kind of almost like pushing back on the idea, because mm-hmm. I didn't bring this up to him, officership. He brought it to me, and because it was on my heart. And I just kept praying and giving it back to God and saying, like, Simon is your son, however you want to deal with them, that's between you two. Yes. So when God did choose to bring it to him and he brought it to me and we were talking about it, I kind of pushed back just to maybe see. And I said, you know, there's a lot of rules there. Like, how are you going to do with all these rules? And he was like, I've been a part of the ARC. Like, I know rules. Like, right. I know. He's like, I'm more worried about you.
I love it.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, we've both been pretty in step with one another as we adjust to life at the college. So, you know, I worked for THQ and the ARC because that's where Simon and I met when we were both working there for 12 years. So 12 years.
Wow.
Having just like a career, like a normal adult career, mm-hmm. and then come to the college, and it's just a different adult experience. Like, mm-hmm. it's how I have chosen to approach it, and I'm really trying to recenter on it again, is that everything I do here is a spiritual discipline. And that's really how I get through it, because I am such like a, you know, independent person, and I don't like the feeling of being controlled in any way. So I just really have to say, God, use each, you know, I'm waking up and going to details. And right now my details is in the dining room. So sanitizing that every morning and all the things we're doing, just like, Lord, this is a discipline that you're using to refine me and to teach me. I have to just say everything I do, every assignment, it's a spiritual discipline that is God is using to refine me.
That's a great perspective.
I mean, you asked more about how Simon was dealing, and I kind of
it's okay. Ended up That's all right.
Hijacking that about me, but
that is okay, because that kind of segues into talking a little bit more about you. Who would you say has had the biggest influence on your life?
I think my parents, watching them navigate raising a family, being married, handling medical crises, handling parenting adults. And my dad's passed away now, but they aren't perfect, but really doing it and trusting God so fully, you know.
And yeah.
So that's been a big impact on me. And I mean, I think when you evaluate your upbringing, mm-hmm. you choose to bring, you know, you choose like, I'm going to leave that behind, but I'm going to take this with me. I'm going to take this part into my family, my marriage, or just like my adulthood, you know?
Right.
And so there's a lot of good, a lot of really good things. I feel like I learned from my parents, and even in their mistakes, I get to learn from their mistakes.
True.
I'd say my parents have been such a huge influence on me.
That's great. So we're in this weird time right now of isolation and social distancing, and I'm really getting tired of a lot of those words that we hear, like pandemic and unprecedented all of those things. I'm like, if I hear that one more time.
Yeah, like I feel like the scientists have actually maybe proven that this is not unprecedented. Like,
right.
We could have spotted this.
Exactly. So
we knew it was coming.
Can we please change our language that we're using? But I can't, you know, I don't control that. So we're in this very interesting, different time where we've had to take a step back and reevaluate who we are maybe and how we approach things. So what has God been teaching you? What new things has God been teaching you during this time of isolation? How is he continuing to use you? Because I know that you have lots of talents and specific ministry callings that God has placed on your life. So how is God using you?
Well, I think one of the things I'm learning is what I'm assuming or I'm imagining a lot of people are, is distilling down to what is essential and what is not essential in general and then in ministry. And what takes up our time and space and energy that hasn't been fruitful? And how can we re-examine how we do what we do and say, how can we learn from this time to just do things better? Because I think it's not a secret that the church has not been growing. And it just gives us an opportunity to say, okay, then what can we start over with? How are we ministering to people in meaningful ways that makes them feel remembered and known and valued? And even in our personal spiritual growth and relationship with Jesus, what takes up our time and energy that we can leave behind so that we, like, okay, for example, with some of the free time because we still have the same amount of classes, we have a lot of extra, you know, we still have our prayers in the morning and Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We still have, with the classes, it's the same amount of homework. And then Simon and I do not have children, but there are so many children on this campus. And all those children are home.
Right.
So our cadets are doing the same amount of work they were doing and then also educating their children and managing. They're doing it all. And I honestly can't imagine what they're all going through. So with the extra free time that I know I've been able to have, just because we're not having meals together and that we're not going out on our labs, we're doing some modified things to meet those requirements, but there's more time. So more time. I went to the library here on campus and I checked out a book called Spiritual Gifts in the Local Church. As I have more time and as I'm reevaluating these essentials and non-essentials, I've been really trying to commit to prayer in a new way and really been feeling in the last year even, I do feel like the Lord is saying, I have more gifts for you. You think all your gifts have been wrapped up in what you do at the core or what you have done in your old job, but he's like, those are good, but I have more gifts for you than you've asked for.
Yeah.
So I'm reading this book and it's like talking about things that are uncomfortable for a lot of people, like supernatural things that we might have thought is for the past. But if we choose to lean into these things and seek God in, there's a lot more that he has for us that I don't think many of us are maybe first even interested because it's a little scary. It's a little intimidating. I hope I'm making sense because I'm kind of processing it out loud myself, that I think God has so much more for us if we ask.
Absolutely. I have learned just in my own like self-discovery, I feel like God has revealed things to me about myself that I didn't know I had. I totally get what you're saying.
And I want to say, you know, I say all this kind of with an asterisk because I recognize very much what a privileged quarantine I'm experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
I have very few concerns about the future. I mean, I certainly am praying for the Salvation Army that this doesn't affect how we serve God through serving mm-hmm. others. But
sure.
So, wow, I really, you know, I want to just emphasize that I see how I have the time to pray in new ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that I know that people listening and so many people out there are not having the experience I'm having. So I just feel it's really necessary to point that out and that I know that.
I'm glad you did. Yep. So how do you take care of yourself? Like, what are some things that you do for self-care and recharging? And I know you kind of touched on picking up a new book to read, but mm-hmm. what are some other things that you do to take care of yourself?
I do like to exercise.
Okay.
I do like to go on walks. Simon and I go on at least one walk a day, typically just around the campus because, well, the lake shore is closed.
Right.
So we don't get to enjoy that beautiful natural wonder that is Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we are trying to be responsible and not unnecessarily expose ourselves to anything. So we often just stay on campus and walk the campus. It's beautiful. It's not sprawling. It's not like huge. It really just takes up mm-hmm. part of a city block. But we really enjoy that. So we walk. I have a really hard rule for myself. And this was even before being sheltered in place, is I mm-hmm. do not do homework past 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, that's a good rule.
And again, I don't have the added responsibility of children, so I can really give myself that hard line rule.
Yeah.
So I really value getting as much sleep as I can. And I'm not really a good sleeper. I really wish I was, but I'm not a great sleeper. So the hours I know that I can dedicate to sleep, I really try to. I set boundaries in general, and that can be really hard to do, I think, in this place where you, there's a temptation to really try to be a star, you know,
sure.
like be a real model cadet. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, oh, I have to say yes to everything. Whatever they ask, yes. And I do. I think I'm actually very like obedient cadet. But
sure.
Sometimes when I feel like if I add one more thing, mm-hmm. it's gonna push me, or it's just really gonna compromise the work I'm trying to do. I'm a big believer in working smarter and not harder, and doing a few lesser things, but doing them really, really well. So if I can recognize in myself that if I take on one more thing, something's going to suffer. So in summary, physical health is important to me, and boundaries is an important thing that helps keep me centered and sane.
That's great. So getting back to you, you're heading to Omaha, Nebraska this summer for summer assignment. And just tell us a little bit about that summer assignment.
Well, everything, there's a lot of unknowns
mm-hmm.
because a lot of the summer ministry a Corps would do, a lot of Corps just won't be doing.
Right.
And we're just being flexible mm-hmm. and just, I mean, what the college requires is a few assignments that you have to complete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they operate a lot like a regular college or university, and there are certain credit hours for each class. So this summer, there's a certain amount of credits that we'll earn mm-hmm. upon completion. So yeah, they definitely are. The college uses every opportunity they can to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that because I really find that I am a student. I don't love homework, mm-hmm. but I really do love to learn. Yeah, and the summer will be what we make it, right. Especially not knowing what is what. And so we might just be spending a lot of time with the McClintocks, our supervising officers, and everyone else, their supervising officers, and just gleaning from their years and years of service. So that might be just a part of what you make it.
Yeah, and you're going to a great place. I know that firsthand. It's a great corps. So shout out to Omaha Citadel.
Yay. Yeah.
So you're in for a treat, and I know they are also in for a treat to have you guys come and share in their ministry. And I know that's how you'll approach it, is mm-hmm. looking at it from a learning perspective and how you can better yourself and allow the Lord to equip you even further for your graduation, which is coming up in 2021, in June of 2021. So what are you most looking forward to after graduation? Obviously, being sent to your first appointment, that mm-hmm. would be amazing to dream about. But what are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, I almost would break it into categories.
Okay.
So if it was ministry, it's really just, I think, to just meet the people and learn the lay of the land, you know? Mm-hmm. Of course, we have no idea where we could go. We could be anywhere. And just to learn the culture of a new town, I think mm-hmm. will be just so exciting to me and really fascinating to see what God is up to. Because that was always, before I was in women's ministries, I was in world missions, and to go to different parts of the world, Russia, the Philippines, Jamaica, and just to see wow, God is, I know he's omnipresent, but wow, I'm really seeing it and experiencing it. And so to get to go to a town I just have never even been to and see what God is doing, that's kind of thrilling to me. I'm excited to have my own home again and mm-hmm. consider if I'll be able to have a garden, or how to personalize the experience of being a Corps officer, because it's not permanent. We know that.
Right.
Those appointments are not permanent. So, but how can I make each place my home?
Yeah. And make the most out of it. Yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So let's talk for a minute about Embrace and the Prepare podcast, because we are coming up to the 5-year anniversary for both of those that you started. They have been exciting, useful tools and mm-hmm. resources for the women in our territory, and God has used them in so many great ways. I can't tell you how many testimonials I've heard about people using Embrace and how it has impacted their lives personally, impacted their community in reaching out to people who they would not have had the opportunity or even the courage to reach out to their neighbors or their other women in their community. But Embrace has allowed them that opportunity. And it's such a great program. And I know that you had some collaboration with some other officers and people on a team. But so what I want to know is, how did you come to the idea of Embrace? Where did the inception come from?
The inception came from, so you said it started in 2015, and I started working in women's ministries in 2013. So those first two initial years was really an information gathering time, which I'm very grateful that the Army would give me that kind of time to do a lot of surveying of the territory and talking with women within the Army, and then doing a lot of research with outside of the Army, mm-hmm. trying to get my finger on the pulse of really what was happening nationally among the evangelical church as far as women's ministries was going. And right about that time, 2014 was the first year that a conference that takes place from a location, and then the big thing about it was doing it locally, from a satellite, with something called the IF Gathering. Mm-hmm. And that was organized by, an author, an influencer, a blogger, and really a teacher and preacher, Jenny Allen. And so it was just really watching the way women responded to the IF Gathering, mm-hmm. just women of the evangelical church. And so I watched the conference, and then I followed them on social media, watched the videos they'd produce, and I was just like, wow, like, these women are just like kind of freaking out for this community and this culture and vibe, really, the IF Gathering was putting out. It was a full experience of like a spiritual, Jesus-centered experience, really.
Okay.
Speaking to women about calling, like what's your calling? How can we disciple you and the generation after you? Mm-hmm. That's like a big, I feel like, cornerstone of their ministry. Mm-hmm. So that was a part of the experience. And the other part was kind of aesthetics. Like they really did a lot of beautiful design, beautiful website, beautiful staging at the conference. It was just like a real aesthetic experience, as secondary to the very Christ-centered experience. Mm-hmm. And people, I could just see women were just very drawn to the beauty of it. And so I'm like taking note, okay, beauty is important to women. Mm-hmm. And speaking into their calling means a lot to women, and community means a lot to women. Yeah. And so it was IF Gathering, and another one was Propel Women, and just a number of women's kind of movements happening. And so I just kind of like pulled all those resources together and just said, like, what can I learn from these groups? Okay, I'll take this from this one, this from that one. And how does that work within the Salvation Army? Because certainly I don't really believe in reinventing the wheel.
Right.
But at the same time, the Salvation Army is so unique.
Yeah.
And I feel like, okay, I have an understanding of who the Salvationist is, and they really gravitate to Salvation Army kind of centric things. Mm-hmm. So I was like, how do we make this work and within women's ministries? So we already have something set up. It's already there.
Right.
But how do we work within it to keep pulling in more women and making them experience all these things, this Christ-centered experience, this discipleship experience, this community experience, and then also the beauty that draws them in through art and design. And so even they would, with their IF Gathering, they had the conference, and then they had their something called IF Table. And really, okay. Embrace came really from the IF Table concept of gathering together once a month for intentional conversation. Mm-hmm. And so everyone out there, it's okay not to have like a plucked out of the sky, brand new original idea. We can learn from other ministries, and that's okay.
Right.
And
amen.
We can take pieces that we know will work for our context and run with it. And so really it was that, like, okay, let's grab things that I think will fit into our context. They're very, really specific, like, because I love our women. I really wouldn't be going into this kind of full-time ministry if my heart wasn't for the Salvationists and right. the people we serve. Mm-hmm. That's where my heart is. I almost see the IF Gathering women, and I'm just like, hey, they're great, but that's really not who we serve necessarily. Right. So what can we use that will cater to who we already serve, but also hopefully make space for just any kind of woman, any kind, and from any background, any socioeconomic background, any ethnic background, like whatever it may be, how can we make space for all of them?
Yeah.
So, but it really is, you know, look around, like do take notice of other ministries and say, what can you learn from them? And that was really what it was. Like, I just learned what was working for others and say, how can we adapt this to our context and make it unique to us, because we are unique.
I love that. I don't think that any one person or organization has all the answers. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we are partners in ministry in Christ. You know, we are all one body, and we need to draw from one another. We need to draw inspiration from one another. It's God using other people to speak into other people to further his kingdom. And that's exactly what Embrace has done. It has blossomed into something so beautiful, and it's furthering God's kingdom, and it's growing women in Christ. And it's just a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. The excitement of, yeah, like you never know how God will use your efforts.
Right.
If you just trust him, and what my big motto is, and just show up.
Yeah, I love it.
So yeah, it's exciting to see Embrace manifest in different ways, because that's the whole point, is that it's going to look different in each community.
Yeah, and it's even looking different now from having to do it, you know, socially distanced.
Yeah.
I know a lot of women are, from their embrace groups, forming Facebook groups or Instagram where they can meet and chat via whatever platform you choose to use, or even just chat in the comments to still meet together without meeting together.
Right. It's cool. I praise God for it.
So the Prepare podcast also was one of your original ideas for this territory anyway. And I know podcasts are nothing new, but just give us a little bit about what your vision was, what you wanted it to be used for, what kind of guests that you envisioned having.
Yeah. Well, mainly I wanted to focus on Salvation Army women and two part, you know, learning from them and then also giving them a platform to share from, because you might feel lonely out there serving and you're like, wow, like, you know, that was a really great program. And that, you know, I wonder if anyone would benefit from hearing about it or whatever it might be. So it's like, how can we give some women a platform to say, hey, we want to learn from you? So really validate them and give them space to share. So that was a big part of it. And really at the territorial level, you know, I just wanted to keep raising the bar higher anytime we could just keep raising it. Again, not for any kind of like recognition, but because I do think that's the territorial role. THQ exists to support the divisions, to support the core.
Absolutely.
And what can we keep doing to, in fact, do that and to do it with excellence and do it well? And so that's what I was, that was a big part of it too. Just like, how can we keep resourcing our core and our officers and our leaders, meeting them where they are? And the only way, in a lot of ways right now, the only way to meet people where they are is through the use of media.
Yep.
So that was really the rationale behind, probably I said those things as I sought permission to start it.
Well, and we do have new listeners all the time.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So that's a great thing. Do you have one particular podcast that was the most memorable for you?
It's really hard to pick one because I can think of so many that stand out to me for various reasons. So unfortunately, I can't give you just one. I can tell you a few and why.
Yeah, okay.
The first one was with Danielle Strickland. That was like episode one. Yeah. So that was really just exciting to,
the premiere.
Yeah, she was in town and I just had to act quick and it was just really exciting. And so that was just memorable because it was like episode one with someone that really has a lot of influence because of the way she lives her life for Jesus. So that was just exciting. And then after the Sarah Johnson episode, feeling just really like that was such a solid episode. Like just there was like so much to learn from it because I was just learning this new skill that I could edit sound. So that was good. Awesome. And then the other one, a few other ones were when I did this series where I met with three retired officers. Two of them are in their golden years. One is now, in fact, Commissioner Polly. She's passed away now.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm just so glad I was able to get that recording, even just for her family. She spoke of the way the Army was not that long ago, but it feels like a real lifetime ago, like the way things functioned. But Lieutenant Colonel Marilyn Arnold was on there and she has so many good things to share.
Love her.
And then another one that was a leader, Katie Engel. Katie just had so much goodness to share. And like, she's a women's ministry secretary at her core. And
she just exudes joy.
Yeah, she's just so filled with the Spirit and filled with Jesus. And it just really is the type of person that you bumper and only good stuff comes out.
I know.
And she's so good at social media.
Yes.
If you want to learn anything about planning a large scale fundraising market, like a rummage / artisan vintage market, guys, follow Katie Engel.
She's your girl.
Kay Engel, Royal Oak Artisan Market. It's just, she's on another level with promotion and using social media. And So yeah, just to learn from her was great. And then the last ones I'll say is when doing the promotions for Rise and Shine mm-hmm. and getting to interview Jo Saxton.
Oh, she's amazing.
And all the other ladies, Tasha Morrison, like just really profound leaders in the Christian faith. So that was just really, really cool that they made time for that.
Yeah. Okay. So as we're starting to wrap up, what are some things that we can specifically pray for you and Simon?
Yeah. Well, you know what I've seen in the last couple of weeks just here at the college, you know, as our sister session gets prepared to be commissioned, mm-hmm. even in this new way that they will be, there's real spiritual attacks out there for people that are trying to serve the Lord. Mm. And so just to really don't discount that the spiritual warfare is mm-hmm. real, mm-hmm. but how God has, how he protects us, but how he also calls us to pray against those things.
Yeah.
So just really praying for the cadets here. Man, I say cadets, but I also just all leaders mm-hmm. and workers that are really trying to serve the Lord with all their heart. Like Satan doesn't want to see that happen.
Yeah.
And we really need, we cannot ignore or even excuse it away
right.
or just see it for what it really is and recognize that it's actual spiritual warfare. So really I'm asking that we all just pray about that and realize that it's not against flesh and blood. Mm. I've had some conflict in years past with people, we all have, but I remember just God one day really clearly being like, it's not about them. This is not about against flesh and blood. This is against something much more than that. This
yeah.
is against principalities and darkness.
Yep.
Sarah, wake up
yeah.
and quit, you know, sure. All people need to work on to be our better selves and to be who God wants us to be. But so really asking for prayer for us and all the leaders and followers that are really trying to serve God
mm-hmm.
wholeheartedly. So that's been on my heart a lot lately. And the other thing for even Simon and I is just that we wouldn't lose hope for the things that we hope for.
Yeah.
But trust God, mm-hmm. knowing that our life is in his hands and whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
That it's still going to be good to follow him and that he's still good even
Absolutely.
In any heartache we face. But that we wouldn't lose hope for the things we hope for.
Yeah. Absolutely. We will continue to pray for you and everything coming up this summer when you go off to Omaha, all of those things, you will be in our daily prayers.
Yeah. Thank you, Heather.
All right. So now we have specific things that we can pray for you about, but I just want to say thank you so much. It's been great catching up with you today. I know our listeners have enjoyed hearing your voice and it's nostalgic. And we need some positive memories during this difficult time. So I appreciate you taking your time today to talk to us. And I know that God is still using your gifts and talents, and he's going to continue to work out his will for you because you are obeying his calling, the calling that he's placed mm-hmm. on your life. So, and we're excited. We're excited to see all that God has in store for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It means a lot.
Good. It's great talking to you today, Sarah. Thanks again.
Thanks, Heather.
It was so nice to hear Sarah's voice today. I was so encouraged by her honesty and openness. It was nice to revisit some of the past podcasts that she has done and wax nostalgic with her as she remembered doing those interviews. You can always access all of our podcasts on our website, uscwomensministries.com. Under the Programs tab, you'll find the Prepare Podcast link. There you can listen to all of the podcasts going all the way back to the beginning. Please continue to pray for Sarah and Simon as they head to Omaha, Nebraska this summer. We know God will use them in a mighty way. And continue to pray for them as they return and head into their second year, their final year at the College for Officer Training with the Salvation Army. Thanks for listening today. I hope this podcast has been uplifting and encouraging to you. And as Sarah has coined our phrase, I hope this podcast has left you prepared and equipped for tomorrow. Please know that I am praying for you as a listener, and I just want to leave you with this word of encouragement from Habakkuk 3:17-18. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, Though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Whatever you're going through today, during this time of uncertainty, when we don't know what our future holds, we can trust in God who is still writing our story. And it's a good story. God is good. We need to remember that. What we are experiencing now may not feel good, or you may be shaking your head saying, how can this be good? But just remember, God is not bound by anything, including the circumstances of our fallen world. He can and is working out his perfect will, the bigger picture that we can't see yet. We just need to have faith and trust. He is our rock, our deliverer, our sustainer, from whom our joy comes. God is Alpha and Omega. He is still in control, and he does not change. He sees, he hears, and he knows. Won't you trust him today? If you wanted more information on how to know God more and even accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you can find that on our website. Click the Contact Us tab, and there you will find additional links to find out more about knowing God. Thanks again for listening. God bless you today.